Well, once more, we hear the gospel for this morning. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Amen. Please have a seat. Now, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Christ our Lord in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, first off, right up front, thank you so much for inviting me here today to celebrate your Mission Sunday. It is always a joy and a privilege to do things like this, and I appreciate it very much, so thank you. So Mission Sunday, what exactly do we mean by that? What is a mission? We often associate it with doing good works for those that need help, spreading the gospel, and those are certainly good things, especially as it relates to our mission as God's people. But mission, I think, is even more general than that. Most organizations, companies, and even ministries have missions, or at least mission statements. For example, the mission of Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch, where my call is to help at-risk children and their families succeed in the name of Christ. Or the mission of St. Andrew Lutheran Church here is learning, living, and sharing Christ through God's Word. I think these are both wonderful missions. They direct us, they give us motivation, they help clarify why we do the things that we do and what we are doing. That's a good thing. But where does the idea of mission come from? Where does this idea of the things we do to benefit others, where is it located? Where does it get its origin? And I think it's from God's Word itself, which might be an obvious thing to say. But I think when we look at our scripture lessons for today, they show us mission loud and clear, especially starting with that Old Testament lesson. Bear with me, we're going to read big sections of it again, but it's so important, I think vital, for establishing what the understanding of mission is to be. So from Genesis chapter 22, starting right at the beginning, it says, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." So far he's faithfully doing it. Verse 7, "And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went both of them together." At verse 10, "Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'On the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided.' And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." All right, again, thank you for going through that. Such wonderful narrative there, giving us, I think, a very clear picture. Because Abraham was given a mission, wasn't he? He was sent with a specific task. Sacrifice your son. A horrifying task, but a mission for sure. This is what you must do. And what perhaps is even more shocking is he's willing to do so. Abraham heard God's voice. He heard God's word. He listened to God's instructions, as horrifying as it was, and he trusted it. That was his mission. And he carried it out successfully. He overcame all the doubts, the frustrations, the fears, the emotions and rationalities that would doubtlessly be screaming at him, "Do not kill your son!" His trust in God's word was his victory over these temptations. His faith in God's will as a loving, merciful, and good God allowed him to carry out his mission. It allowed him to trust what God was asking him to do. And ultimately, he received God's blessing as a result. Because in the midst, in the heat of that moment, right at the point where it is about to be unthinkable, God steps in and provides. He blesses Abraham and he blesses Isaac. He grants life and provides the sacrifice. God does it all. An incredible mission and an incredible fulfillment with God's merciful intervention. I think Abraham's experience here in Genesis looks like a fulfillment of what James talks about in our epistle lesson today. James, the first part of the James 1, says this: "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." So I think we understand Abraham surely had doubts, surely had temptations not to listen to God's mission when the instructions were to kill his son. Quite the temptation, I'm sure. But as James explains, we all will face temptations in our lives, specifically surrounding mission, that faithfulness that God desires. We'll have anxiety, we'll have doubt, we'll see fear. Maybe laziness and selfishness might get in our way of what we believe our mission to be. "I don't have time to get involved in that kind of work. I can't do that kind of work. I'm not equipped for it. I don't have the resources to do that. Someone else will do it. It's too dangerous. Why should I be the one to go to that place? That sounds scary. What if something goes wrong?" Yes, we'll have temptations. But through faith, that is our trust in God's word, trust in his promises, we are already given his blessing. We are given his grace. You see, ultimately, that is God's promise to us in the first place, that through our faith, he will provide salvation. Through our faith, he will bless us. Through our trust in his promise, we receive his favor. Because he is the one that does the work. He provides the sacrifice. He provides the cost. Whatever is required, God has already done it. We simply trust what he has done. I think our gospel lesson today shows us how this works. Our gospel lesson shows us God providing everything that is required and does so in the mission of Christ himself. Once again, the gospel lesson. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel, that is, the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Again, the good news. This lesson is showing us that Jesus is the sacrifice that God provides. Jesus is the one who pleases the Father. Jesus overcomes the temptations that we inevitably succumb to in our sinfulness. Jesus is the one who shows us what the mission of all Christians is: to proclaim the good news, to proclaim the salvation that God provides. He does so in word and deed, and he does so on our behalf. Everything he has done for you. And through Jesus, it is already carried out successfully for you. So now, as our lives are lived out in faithfulness to that promise, our lives become our mission. Our lives of trust in his work are lives lived in mission. Abraham lived out his faith by listening to the word of God. His faith proclaimed that good news. He tells his son Isaac, "God will provide the sacrifice." He trusts that. He knows who God is, and God does just that. And life and blessing result. His faith proclaimed that good news. His life demonstrated his faith and proclaimed it outwards. And this is the work, the mission, that blesses others. It's the very last two verses of that Genesis passage. God responds to Abraham's faith. "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." The blessing goes outward through the faith. "Because you have obeyed, trusted, had faith in my voice," his word. The life of faith is the life of mission. Likewise, James clarifies this point as well. So what is the mission? Well, according to the last two verses of our James passage, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, and we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." He gives us our faith. He blesses us with it. And through us, others see it. Others receive that good news. And their blessing is the result. You are his first fruits. Your lives bless others. And what greater blessing is there than the good news of salvation? So whether it is Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch or St. Andrew Lutheran Church, whether it is here in our local communities, or it's internationally in Kenya, Chile, India, or wherever else mission is being carried out, wherever the work of the church, the confession of faith, a life of faith is being lived, mission is being fulfilled. and people are being blessed. Whether it is an immense scope outward publicly or a close, personal, intimate scope, it's all a life of faith. It is all a life of mission. And mission is about the things that we do and strive for. Specifically, it is the attitude, direction, and purpose that motivates the things that we do. The goal is to benefit and bless people. And that's exactly what God does through you, through your faith. He carries out an objective of blessing by the very trust that you place in Him. So regardless of who you are or what your status is in life, it is your life of faith in which you are already living a life of mission. Through Christ, God has already made you His first fruits. Your faith proclaims the good news. You are a bearer of blessing because you already live in Jesus' name. And so as you go out and you demonstrate that faith, you demonstrate your life in Him, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand because you repent and because you believe in the good news. Your life of faith is now a life of mission. Amen. May the grace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.